Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break with Sip and Jake, brought to you by Gaina Trucking. Live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
And the Lincoln Journal star's Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
This is Early Break with Sip and Jake. Sponsored by Gaina Trucking.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Wednesday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Early Break. Fun show so far. You got the podcast at theticketfm.com. You can always call or text the show at 402-464-5685. Watch us and comment on the Sauter Heyman Jewelers video stream on Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube. And again, our show is sponsored by Gaina Trucking. Check out their current job openings at gainatrucking.com. This segment, I have a couple things I want to get to that I saw yesterday, Sip. And one of these, okay, I'll start with this. This stat here, these finalists for awards announced yesterday, kind of tells a little bit of the season for Nebraska. And then and another award bothered me. I'll tell you that in a second. Yesterday, Sip.
Okay.
The Lou Groza Award finalists were announced in college football. That is for the best kicker in the nation. The three finalists were all kickers that hurt Nebraska in certain ways this year. Gabe Berkich, Oklahoma. Jake Moody at Michigan. And Noah Ruggles at Ohio State. Whereas Nebraska this year, of course, was 12 for 23 on field goals thus far.
12 for 23.
Hello. When Nebraska's had so many close losses. The fact that, you know, these guys had reliable kickers to get them over the hump.
Yes.
That was, I just laughed. I saw the stat. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Nebraska could not make kicks, and these guys made kicks when they had to help their team win. Like, remember Ruggles' kicks? They never left the middle of the uprights against for Ohio State.
Yeah, he hasn't missed this year.
Well, he never was even close against Nebraska. These were dead down the middle. Jake Moody hit some big kicks against Nebraska for Michigan in that game. And Berkich, of course, the same thing for Oklahoma.
To be fair, Connor Culp was the Big Ten kicker of the year last year.
Yes.
Now he struggled this year. 6 for 12 on field goals. And so it can go, yeah, these guys had good years.
It just makes me laugh. Because
Why does it make you laugh, Jake?
Because it's more of a painful laugh. It's more of a nervous laugh, probably, or an anxious laugh. Just seeing that those three guys all played critical parts in Nebraska losing close games to good teams. Oklahoma, you're right there. Moody against Michigan, you're right there. Rutgers, you're right there against Ohio State. And those guys made kicks, and Nebraska did not in those games.
You asked the question, is it the biggest sign of how close Nebraska is? No, I don't. I don't think so. I think there's a lot of signs. No, I don't think this one is. I don't know. I don't know what to think of this. These close, you know, Nebraska being close. It's starting to kind of wear off on me. I mean, you got to, at some point, it doesn't really make that much difference, right? They have been close, and that's where we're at. Now Frost has got a set period of time to prove that they can get over the hump. And, yeah, having a kicker, they better get that squared away before next year, right?
They have to.
Right. And maybe they feel like Chase Contreras is 2-for-4 on field goals in – you know, he's taken over for Connor Cole. Maybe they feel like he's the answer, or maybe that is a portal.
I'm pretty sure they're going to have to attack the portal.
Well, I think so, because you don't want to just have one.
No, they're going to have to get a couple guys, but they need somebody they can count on. Contreras was not reliable. I mean, he missed a kick you had to make against Ohio State. Short kick. To make it a 3-point game at that point, whatever it was?
I think it was going to be a 4-point.
Sorry, whatever. But yeah. It was still a kick you have to make. Absolutely. It was short distance, you're straight away. You
31 yards.
Missed it. Too many times you've missed extra points this year or short kicks, and it just killed you. So I just thought that was kind of funny in a sad way.
Right. So, yeah, is that one of the positions that Nebraska will address in the portal?
I think they have to.
Do they have to?
Yes. I think you have to address the kicker position in the portal. Collectively as a team, this team was 12 so far with one game to go. 12-for-23 on field goals. That's 50%. You made half of your kicks, Sip.
Well, I know, but Cope will move on.
But Contreras missed kicks.
Well, he's 2-for-4, so it's a limited sample.
He's missed 2 of his 4 kicks. Yeah, 50%.
I mean, you know where I stand. But that's just... that's just kind of one of many issues I think they have in this close game discussion. Oklahoma, think about the Oklahoma game and all the issues in that Oklahoma
game. They had an
game.
Extra point taken back for 2 points. You had a 4-point touchdown in the Oklahoma game. That's not really possible. It shouldn't be possible, but it happened.
Yeah, it was sort of
Nebraska
surreal.
Had a 4-point touchdown.
But they also had a bunch of guys jumping off sides on the offensive line, right?
Yes.
There were issues there. It wasn't just a special teams issue. Michigan State was a special teams issue, not a field goal issue, a punter issue. Michigan was an Adrian issue at the end, right?
Fumble.
Guy stripped Adrian, and Adrian missed a wide open Levi Falk.
That's right.
I'm going down to close losses. Purdue, pretty self-explanatory, 4 interceptions by Adrian. Ohio State, the kick played a part.
Was important there.
The kick played a part,
it
for
did.
Sure. Again, failure to make plays late. Wisconsin wasn't a kicker issue. They failed to make
And by the way, that would have made it a 3-point game. Nebraska was down by 6 at that point
Are
against
sure?
Ohio State.
Is that right? Is that right?
Because they were going, if they had a touchdown, they would have taken the lead. Okay. They were down by 6. The extra point puts up by 1. They didn't score.
Okay,
field goal
right.
would have put them down by 3. That's okay. why they went down, kicked the field goal, went up by 9,
right.
And that was basically the game then.
Okay, you're right.
So that's what happened. That was a very important kick to make.
So, yeah, the portal is maybe a place where they look. I think in the portal...
We can't laugh off the kicker spot anymore because it has cost Nebraska too many times in the Frost era.
I think the portal, you go in and get a tackle, too. It is sort of amazing. You have a pretty good one up there, though, right now that's walking around with a bad knee problem, Teddy Prochazka, right? Yeah, he had knee surgery. He's walking around, though. He was up in the press box the other day for the high school championship games, and it's pretty amazing when you see him, by the way, not to change the subject completely, change the subject completely to the portal. They have one tackle. When you see Teddy Prochazka, it's fairly amazing. How big he is. I mean, he's a giant.
He is a large man.
When you see him, you just think, okay. I wonder what it'd be like to be that big and be a football player, or what if you were that big and you weren't a football player? Would people just assume you were a football player?
Yeah, or basketball.
Okay,
or something.
So here's Teddy Prochazka. He's in this football facility. He looks like that. You just think, okay, this has to be an NFL-type player, right? He looks good. He looked good early. He's in a football environment. He's 6'9", 300, athletic. Just look at the guy and think, oh, my God, yeah. I mean, there's just not that many guys. What I'm trying to say is there's just not that many guys walking around Target like that.
No.
Right? There's not many guys walking around going to Austin Allen. Like, when you say, is he an NFL player? I got to think so, in part because there's just not that many guys that athletic who are 6'9", 260. You see him catch passes.
Yeah, he looks good out there.
He looks good catching the ball.
He's not slow.
No.
He's not awkward, I don't think. No. You know, it's easy to be awkward at 6'9". He's not awkward at all.
Yeah, I think he's made the right. I think Austin Allen last night, in announcing his decision on a video, Twitter video. Is that video anywhere else? Is it on Instagram, too?
It might be.
I
just saw it on Twitter.
I worry about stuff like that. But Twitter video announcing that he's moving on, entering the NFL draft pool, makes sense. Makes complete sense. I mean, he had the sort of year he needed to have. I think this is the right decision, right?
I think that it was solidified against Wisconsin.
Yeah. 7 catches.
Seemed like he was going to go before that, but there was like, you have to go now for your own sake. Okay, before we get to John Des Moines, there's something else I want to get to.
Oh, John.
Hang on, John.
John, one second.
This is not Nebraska-related, but I think you're going to be bothered by a lot of the country. Speaking of awards from yesterday and finalists, the Biletnikoff Award finalist came out. That's the best receiver in the country, right? We always talk about how Ohio State has three of those in Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and Jackson Smith-Njigba. None of those three were on the finalist list. Mm. It was these three, Sip. Mm. David Bell, we love David Bell at Purdue. Mm. Jameson Williams of Alabama and Jordan Addison of Pitt. No Ohio State receiver.
That's curious.
Made the Biletnikoff finals.
That's curious to me.
Explain that one to me.
Well,
because you can't pick one of the three to make it.
You can't make this a numbers.
They all get punished.
You can't make this a numbers discussion because the. You know, they get their numbers get divided up because they're so good, and they have Ruckert it tied in. That's curious to me. I think you got to have one of those guys, what you judge to be the best one on there, and that'd be Garrett Wilson. Wilson should be on that list. He should.
You can make an argument for any of those three.
Yeah, but yeah, I think you got to take the best one. I don't know what the numbers look like on those guys, but I mean. Wilson's regarded as the best of the three.
Well, Olave's really, I mean, they're all first round
picks.
They're
all really good. Right? Yeah,
I mean,
they're all really good. Ohio State
receivers.
Do you have to only announce three finalists? That's what I would ask the Biletnikoff committee.
Well, they do for all the other stuff, for all the other awards. There's three finalists.
Why can't you? What would keep you from announcing five finalists? Is there some kind of
I don't know
penalty?
I don't make the rules for the Biletnikoff Award. But
that's weird.
I can tell you that is weird. It was not greeted with a lot of support yesterday across
the
country.
Weird.
The fact that no Ohio State receiver, which is no doubt the best group of receivers in college football.
Well, PJ Fleck earlier this year said that's the best group of receivers in football.
Yeah, that's right.
Now,
yeah,
he didn't say college football.
Even the NFL.
Well, you just said three first-rounders. How many NFL teams have three first-rounders playing?
I mean, they're really good.
Right. How many NFL teams have three first-rounders playing receiver right now?
Probably not. Maybe,
none.
If none.
Yeah. So, I mean, PJ Fleck didn't delineate which football we're talking about. Yeah, not to have an Ohio State representation for that award, I think diminishes the award. That's what I think.
That's what the nation said as well. That's why it bothered me. I had to get it out there. That's a bad look for the Biletnikoff Award.
Yeah.
Let's get a call from John in Des Moines. John, you're on early break. Good morning, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Well,
it's great
to hear from you,
John. Yeah. You're always prepared. I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Oh, thanks. Listen, real quick, I just want to wish you both a happy Thanksgiving before I get going here. And as we close in on another Nebraska football season, thank you guys for the continued great coverage and content, and hope you guys keep this show rolling for many, many more football seasons. And speaking of thanks, Sip, I just wanted to thank you quickly for the Luke Walton employment update.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A couple of days ago. Now, don't listen to Jake, what he says, that nobody cares. I mean, I'm sure myself and at least 3 to 4 other people around listening appreciated that breaking news. As soon as I heard that, I went straight to Google and I had to read it. So I appreciate you breaking that.
You're welcome, so, John.
That's one of the few bright spots of the Nebraska football season ending is we'll be blessed with more NBA takes from Sip.
Yep.
There's nothing like a breakdown of random Blazer Pacer West Coast game at 6:05 in the morning. So we're going to be looking forward to that.
Okay.
Now, guys, I know we all felt pretty good about Nebraska's chances earlier this week, and even after the Martinez news, we still certainly feel like they can win this game. It would obviously mean a lot to them and the program. But obviously winning this game means a lot to Iowa and their fans, too. I mean, take it from a guy who lives here. I mean, I can't tell you how often they recount I-Corps statements about evaluating where Iowa is.
Yeah.
And how often Nebraska is a subject of conversation on radio shows around here. They love the fact Nebraska isn't very good and certainly are enjoying that 6-game winning streak that Iowa currently has.
Yeah.
They love to point out Nebraska's firing 9-win coaches, et cetera, et cetera. So, in my opinion, Iowa fans get more enjoyment out of beating Nebraska than they do any other of their yearly rival opponents, such as Iowa State, Minnesota, even Wisconsin. So,
oh, man,
it really tops their season at the end of the year, and they would love it nothing more than to really finish Nebraska's season off that way. So, on paper, I always worry, though, Iowa looks like just such a bad matchup for Nebraska because, let's face it, Iowa wins football games by winning the turnover battle, special teams, and penalties. And those are three things that, honestly, Nebraska just hasn't been very good at.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The one thing that concerns you, remember back out in the last time Nebraska did win in 2014, we couldn't believe that Iowa kept kicking the DPE, you know, and
yep,
just turned that game around, right? Now, Iowa doesn't have a DPE, but they have a guy that really sparks that club, and his name is Charlie Jones.
Yep.
He's second in the Big Ten in kick return. He's third in punt returns. They were down 10-0 to Illinois last week and really looked flat. He returns one for 100 yards to get him back in the game. So I'm not saying they got to kick away from this guy, but, boy, their special teams have really got to be on point because this guy just has a knack for getting the Hawkeyes started. And as you guys have been recently discussing, you know, I do think the game is going to come down to who runs the ball better. I know that's not expert analysis in the Big Ten. You need to run the ball well to win games. But especially now with Smothers making his first start, you know, if Nebraska asks him to throw it around, I just think they're going to be in trouble. I can really see Iowa kind of just stacking that box and almost daring him to throw. But the same goes for Iowa. Their quarterbacks, you know, they made a quarterback change, but it hasn't been much of an upgrade. I wouldn't say an upgrade at all. I mean, they're not going to win the game by throwing it around either. So Iowa's going to run the ball, and I'm sure they will, especially after they saw what Wisconsin did against Nebraska. So they'll be looking for that. So now I know Friday is senior day. Sip, you wrote a couple days ago that Adrian Martinez is well-deserving of standing ovation from the fans, and you're absolutely correct. I can't believe you got pushback on that, but it sounds like you did. I hope it was minimal. But every senior deserves a standing ovation. If you've participated in 4, 5, or even 6 years of Division I football, you absolutely deserve a standing ovation from the fans. I don't care if you didn't make it to a bowl game. I don't care how many games you won or lost. I don't care if you never played a down. The large majority of us fans can't even begin to understand what it's like to practice every day in a physical sport like football, study film, play games, the off-season workouts, all while trying to be a college student. You know, many of these young men did some damage to their body that they won't notice until they're much more older in their lives, obviously. But But the life lessons they learn playing football at this level will serve them greatly, much greater than their win-loss record. These players are winners, and they deserve the same respect as the seniors of any other Nebraska team. So it's going to be a beautiful November day, a day after we get to spend some time with family and friends. The missus and I are coming out for the game with a couple of Hawkeye fans, family members. So I could really use the win to make that car ride home bearable. So
amen.
Let's pack that grand old stadium and win or lose, stand up for these young men and cheer for them and show them some appreciation. And let's win one from Mill from Hastings. If you guys don't know that story, look it up today. That's a great story. So,
okay.
Have a great day, guys.
We'll John, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Great call. Great call by John. He mentioned Alex Padilla, the quarterback. Alex Padilla, Jake, who has come on for Spencer Petras, is only completing 46.9% of his passes. 46.9%.
And they're winning games.
Yeah, I know. I know. They are.
They're winning football.
They have what you love. They have Sam Laporte at tight end, who leads them in catches easily. 37 receptions.
Iowa does.
Yep, 37 receptions for Sam Laporte. John's right. They are third nationally in terms of being the least penalized team in the country, Iowa. Third nationally, 4 penalties per game. Nebraska, by the way, though, has made strides in that area. They're 33rd. I mean, they're only getting,
it's respectable.
Yeah, they're only getting 5.3 penalties per game.
It's not killing you.
But yeah, Iowa wins it with special teams. They're plus 12 in turnovers.
And Nebraska loses with special teams.
Right.
Like Nebraska is probably a better team in a lot of areas, but the fact that they are so widely different in that area specific, you know, they're really good at special teams. Nebraska's not. That makes a world of difference.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's sort of predictable what's going to happen. It's sort of up to Nebraska to make it unpredictable. John, thanks for that magnificent call, by the way.
Yes, thank you, John.
Let's see what Jeff has to say.
It's a call from Jeff. Jeff, you're on early break. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just calling to say this is – I was watching the state championship game at Class A last night.
Okay.
And I had a couple of thoughts. And
okay.
Not that anything's down in Nebraska high school football, but if you watch that game, both teams were totally spread out. They threw the ball tons. There was hardly any emphasis on the running game. And if you think about it, one of the keys to Nebraska being good, you know, for so long in the 70s, 80s, and 90s is they're, especially in Omaha, they're producing running backs out of Omaha all the time, and
yep.
Nebraska had a long stream of really good running backs that came out of Omaha. Besides, you know, a lot of other good running backs they had, there were a lot of good kids coming straight out of Omaha.
Right.
And if you watch that game last night, and if you think about it, really since Amon Green, there hasn't been a great in-state running back, especially that played here at Nebraska. So, you know, that's really since 2000.
Okay.
There have been very few great, you know, running backs in state that, you know, we've had to get most of those guys from out of state, and not even that many in-state kids have gone elsewhere, you know, and had great careers. I mean, there was Danny Woodhead, you know, but, you know, he was, you know, kind of undersized and all that. But, you know, the dry up of the running back mm-hmm. out of Omaha, mm-hmm. I think, has been a big factor in why, you know, that we don't have the same type of runners that we had, you know, all those years. And then if you just look at that high school game, the way that high school football is played has changed a lot. And so I think that's like one of those things that's overlooked as
yes.
far as how players in-state are being developed and what they look like compared to what was happening, you know, when Nebraska was very dominant in football.
Oh, that's a great
Thanks
point,
for the call, Jeff.
Jeff.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're talking about guys like Leotis Flowers. You probably don't remember
that. Yeah, I've heard that name. Sure.
Leo Amon.
Of course.
Jones, Keith Jones, those type of players. He's right. I mean, there were so many that you forget some of them. Damon Benning was one of them. Clinton Childs. Those guys were good, man. I mean, they're good backs. And he's right. You're not getting that. I mean, first of all, you're not – I mean, since Amir, you haven't had an All-Big Ten back. You're going back to 2014 there, son. Right?
I'm just trying to think of even Omaha right. backs have come to Jalen Bradley didn't do anything here.
No,
right?
No, that doesn't. Yeah. I mean, it's nice.
But that's the point. They had some guys.
David Horn was
David
one.
David Horn's a guy early 2000s, yeah. Yeah, mid-2000s.
Yeah, he flashed a little bit,
flashed,
not
but
a lot.
Wasn't anything
but
special.
Man, I mean, we're talking about Amon Green yeah, now. I mean,
NFL yeah, player.
Right. I mean, Keith Jones was not an NFL player, but he was a really good running back. Clinton Childs, Damon. Yeah, all those guys. I'm sure I'm missing somebody. Maybe somebody on the text line could add a few names. But Jeff is right. That's a big part of this. If Nebraska had a big-time running back right now, the equation would be different. You talk about what has kept Nebraska from winning close games. Well, one way you win close games is with a pounding running game late in the game.
Absolutely.
I mean, we have seen it from Wisconsin so many times. How do they beat Nebraska? They pound a big running back at you. Where's Nebraska's Jonathan Taylor, Braylon Allen?
You're allowed to have one.
Melvin Gordon. Where are those guys?
You're allowed to have one of those.
Why are they? Yeah. Where's Tyler Goodson? I mean, where is that? Nebraska hasn't had a Tyler Goodson.
No, they need a running back.
Yeah. Jeff makes a great point, but now they got to go outside and get one. It looks like, again, right?
By the way, didn't mention this yet, but James Franklin back to 2031 at Penn State, signed an $8.5 million per year contract extension, 10 years. He's there till 2030, so he's not going anywhere. Not going to USC, not going to LSU.
I don't know what to make of that.
Sticking around at Penn State.
I don't know what to make of that. So USC now, is that Fickell? Is that Luke Fickell?
I think you should be up on their list in the first place.
Right.
I'm still hearing at LSU and USC Matt Campbell's name.
Yes,
a lot.
You're hearing that a lot. And no, you know what you're hearing it more? Washington.
Really?
Yeah, you're hearing Campbell come up a lot
I
for
haven't
the Washington
heard that
job.
One, but
yes. He's coming up. Campbell's coming up a lot at Washington.
And now it might come down to if you're at Florida and LSU, do you just get it? If Campbell doesn't go there, is it become a Billy Napier contract battle? How much are you going to pay him?
Matt Hayes, the national football writer, said Napier, if he wants that, if Florida wants Napier, Napier will go.
And LSU would probably want him too.
I don't know. Seems like they would want a higher profile guy.
But who's available? I mean, are they trying to get Bob Stoops down there?
Well, it's not a bad name.
Does Stoops want to go to LSU?
I don't know. I mean, I doubt it. I really doubt it. I doubt that.
I'm very curious how that search ends
up. Think about LSU. What a that place is where that's a tough place. If you go 9-4 at LSU, you're gone. They're gonna start beating a drum that you're gone. Right.
I'm really curious where they go in this search. The names that we've heard are drying up at LSU.
William texts in. I went Keith Jones over Calvin Jones. Yeah, Calvin Jones.
I was going to say Calvin. Yeah. Keith is okay.
Jones. Well, Keith Jones was in school when I was in school. That's why.
By the way, if you need
a Calvin Jones, we missed out. Calvin Jones should have been mentioned. Yeah.
By the way, if you need a win this holiday season, it is time for the Magical Lights of Seward. Call right now. Caller 6 at 402-464-5685. We'll get a pass to the Magical Lights of Seward that goes from Black Friday, that's in 2 days, up until New Year's Eve in Seward. 20 minutes. It's an awesome loop. It's a half mile. Great music, great fun. It's great for the family. The best light show, not just in this part of the state, but the entire state. Magical Lights of Seward. If you don't win the tickets, you can always go online and buy a ticket at magicallightsofseward.com/ticket. But caller 6 right now will win a free pass, compliments of us. Enjoy the holidays. Get your win from Magical Lights of Seward. Up next, Parker Gabriel on Early Break on the Ticket.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.